Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked, you will surely die. If you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned unto him. He has done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die by it. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, everyone after his ways. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. You're listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. I would have never dreamed nearly 30 years ago, well, my pastor, R. Paul Carroll, was pastoring for, just turned out to be 3.5 years, was the extent of his pastoral ministry before he went to be with the Lord, that for 3.5 years, when we would gather together in San Diego, California, that we had, we were just in a little building at the top of a home-fed bank, because one of the women in our church, her ex-husband had been a big wig in the banks, and so we were given a place to gather together. And Pastor Paul had no desire to build another church on another corner. And in the upper room, it was pretty cool because there was a kitchen area, and you would go upstairs. The bank was downstairs, and there was a big, huge meeting room. And every Sunday morning, people would gather, and the deacons would be there, and they'd set up the equipment. And every single week, once a week, we would gather in that place. And we're going all the way back to the 1980s, late 80s and early 90s. Pastor Paul was from 88 to 91 in his pastoral ministry. And there was a table, a makeshift podium, if you will. And on the podium, we had in a frame on a piece of glass that was nice, you know, a nice podium. The people always did a great work at the church, and they always represented God in what they did. And they saw that God was a God of order and beauty. And so they did labor to make things excellent. There was an excellent workmanship in them. And on this table where the pastor would go and begin the ministry on that morning, in this framed picture frame, was Ezekiel 33. I have called you to be a watchman. And there's no doubt in my mind that Pastor Paul was more than a watchman. He was an apostolic man of God. He had a prophetic gifting in him. Never once called himself an apostle, never once called himself a prophet, never once called himself a watchman. He felt that the word of the Lord was to our ministry. And a lot of people that grew up under Pastor Paul's ministry and counsel had somewhat of a watchman anointing come on their lives. I could think of several people right now that have actually received of that. But it was just interesting to me today that God was raising up a watchman ministry. And there are watchmen all over the world. There are God's watchmen. And today, with all the information superhighway that's available to us, you know, we could go scour the internet for tons and tons of bits of pieces of information, which I'm going to share a few with here, which is very helpful. But at the same time, God really does assist his watchmen and watchwomen that are really standing on the wall wanting to see, because it's not just seeing with our physical eyes what's going on in the world, right? I mean, anybody could do that, and that's okay. But it's when you're standing on that spiritual wall, and it's when you're seeing in the spirit with spiritual eyes that God is revealing things to you to declare. And the people look out like in the days of Noah and say, what flood? What flood? What are you talking about, a flood, Noah? But God had revealed to Noah what was to come. Now, these people, obviously, they did not have the spirit of faith. They did not believe in Noah's preaching. And we know the rest of that story. And so it is throughout Scripture that God reveals things to the seers, to the watchmen, to the prophets, to whomsoever would be available to him, right? And they will see something in the spirit, and they will then bring forth that word. And depending on the condition of the people's hearts, they will either be like Hezekiah was when Isaiah came to him and said, you're going to die. And he turned to the wall and he prayed and he shed tears and he wept sore. And God saw his prayers and his tears and reversed things. He turned things around for that man, gave him 15 more years. Or the prophet Isaiah is going to come to someone and say, you're going to die. And they're going to say, that's baloney. That's not the word of God. I don't believe that at all. And so it depends on the condition of the heart. And today, you know, it's interesting to me that God is assisting individuals that have been commissioned, assigned by him to be his watchmen, to speak to his people about things that he wants them to know are coming down the pike. And when we study the scriptures, we could walk away with an end time mindset. We could walk away with an understanding about the last days. It's very clear. It's very clear in the scriptures. Anybody could do that. And yet it's when God begins to reveal things personally that we need to take more earnest heed to what God is really saying. Because when we look at things simply through our physical eyes and we look at the news and the events that are going on everywhere, you know, there's a lot of smoke and mirror out there. There are a lot of things that designed. I'll never forget what President George H.W. Bush said. That was in 2000, the president of the United States, George Bush. When 9/11 happened, he made it very clear. He said, we are moving into a season of propaganda, and we are going to be using propaganda in this war that we are at war with these different nations. And I'll never forget it. I heard him say it. I saw him say it. And he was just basically telling everybody, not everything you see is the truth. And I believe that that has exponentially risen into a reality today, that there are things going on that everybody in the world could see with their eyes, but it's designed to draw the attention away from the real important things. And the only way we could ever perceive the real important things that God wants us to know is if God will open the spiritual eyes of the spiritual watchmen so that they will see the spiritual things. Now, John, in the book of Revelation, his eyes were opened by the Lord, and there were things revealed to him that the world around him, the church around him, would never have ever thought. They were looking at Rome. They were looking at, you know, all these different, you know, physical things taking place. And there were very real things that were coming out of the spiritual realm manifesting, like persecution and the church being scattered. And, you know, there was the Roman Empire, and those things did exist. And they were very much a part of the end time for that generation narrative. Our world today, because of technology, the trickery, just any movie, you know, where they use the mirrors and they use so much technology and camera work and, you know, to create images and things that look so real, but it's a big show. It's not the real deal. Okay. So what is it that God is really, honestly wanting his church to know right now? What is God's word saying? Well, through the Bible itself, it's very clear. And so, you know, if God didn't speak another word, if God didn't say another thing, if God did not spiritually reveal anything, but he just left his book, the Bible, unveiled, so people that would want to study it, research it, understand it, get in there and learn God's ways, we could find God's message in the Bible. It's very clear. It's very clear. But God has not forsaken the earth. And the Holy Spirit is more real today than at any other time. He's always real. Don't get me wrong. The Holy Spirit is always real. He was real when he came into the upper room in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He's been real throughout the reformations and the revivals. And the Holy Spirit has been actively present in the ecclesia from generation to generation. And hopefully the genuine Holy Spirit is actively present in your personal life and mine, because there are a lot of counterfeit spirits. There are a lot of spirits that are in the world and in the church that are basically not the Holy Spirit, but come very close in emulation to the Holy Spirit. And what is the real message? Well, if we're listening and we have some tuned in frequency to the genuine spirit of the living God, what is God really saying? Is he wanting us to know that another terrorist attack is coming? Is that all God wants us to know? Is God just sending dreams and visions? I'm going to read a few that people have been having that I find most interesting. I just found them this morning, of things that God is showing them. And, you know, everybody's saying that God's showing them something, right? And we're all getting these tidbits of information and we're looking. But when you dig down deeper, when you get all the way down, what is God really saying to the church? And I want to talk about it today. And I want to talk about it in light of all the things that are happening in the world today. So that's where we're going to be spending most of our time this morning. But before I get into what I believe I've heard the Holy Spirit say from other men and women of God who have tapped into the beautiful river of the Holy Spirit, the beautiful crystal clear river of the Holy Spirit, that river of life, that Holy Spirit that guides into truth, that Holy Spirit that counsels us. I can hear that Holy Spirit in other people. Can you? I know you can. I know when the Holy Spirit is actively present in an individual or in a ministry or during a service or wherever, you could tell, because there's a witness, there's a connection, because we genuinely have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the fruit is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding, right? The proof is in the fruit of a life that has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Wouldn't you agree that anybody in the world could call themselves a Christian? But if there has not been a nature change, an inward impact by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working to bring deliverance and salvation and healing and restoration, and to bring recovery and to bring resurrection power, resurrection life, energy, exousia, dunamis power to the life of a believer, so that they can live beyond the clutches of the world, the flesh, and the devil, so that they are no longer slaves to sin. Sin has no dominion over them, but they're walking in the integrity of the gospel and they're producing good fruit in their daily lives and they're working out their salvation. I mean, there is something intrinsically valuable to that individual that is walking with God, and it shows up. It just absolutely shows up. And it doesn't just show up on stage, and it doesn't just show up on, you know, the platform of life, so to speak. It shows up in their character. It shows up in the nature. And when we witness people manifesting the fruit of the Spirit of God, that is powerful. You know, too often we find maybe within ourselves or around and about us that uncleanness that keeps coming up out of people. There's something inside of them that when triggered a particular way, there's a crassness, there's an uncleanness that comes out. There's something that defies their conversation of holiness, There's something going on in an intensity or a tension or a fear that's manifesting in different ways, or some unforgiveness or root of bitterness that's in someone's life. And while they're proclaiming to be Christians, and they very well may be, they're not yet perfected in these areas that God wants to clean up. How many of you would say amen? God needs to clean up the ecclesia, the bride. She's without spot and wrinkle, right? The third day church, or the church living in the third day, is to be a church that is ready to go, vibrant, vim, vigor, full of energy and power and spiritual anointing. And yet we're still in that second day mentality of, you know, binding demons and being healed from our diseases. You know, the first day and the second day, Jesus said, go tell Herod that fox that today and tomorrow I do cures and miracles, but on the third day I shall be perfected. And it is time for the body of Christ to come to that perfection within this prophetic third day that is blowing down the doors right now of its reality and intention and purpose as revealed by the Spirit of God. What am I saying? We've got to get beyond casting out demons and miracles and cures, and we need to start walking in the fullness of the Spirit as an ecclesia on this earth that is a proven power from God Himself and from heaven itself, showing forth the glories of the splendid kingdom of God that dwells within us, okay? So we're talking today about an intrinsic value of spiritual warriors and spiritual worshipers and people that have been touched deeply by the Spirit of God and impacted deeply by the Spirit of God. And that deep impact has moved mountains out of their way, and their faith has brought forth a reproduction of Christ-likeness. You know, these are the important things for people right now, I believe. I don't believe that God just simply wants to continue to tell us what's going on out there and the next scary event, although he'll give Joseph a dream and say, you better get out of here and go to Egypt until I call you again. I mean, there's no doubt that God uses these things, but the most important thing wasn't the Herod that wanted to kill Jesus or the fleeing to Egypt. That was just to keep the man child alive so that he could come and do the work that God had called him to do. It wasn't about the bad stuff that was happening. It was a knowledge that the bad stuff that was happening was intended to kill the seed, to destroy the man child, like in Revelation chapter 12, the dragon is at the womb of the woman wanting to destroy the man child as soon as it's born. It's not about the danger. It's about what that man child is going to do. And what you and I need to know by the Spirit right now, it's not, you know, what's out there that's going on, but in the Father's heart, in the Father's mind, it is about what He has invested in you and in me of His divine nature to be activated, a new DNA, if you will, so that this world will see the explosive power of the kingdom of God, but it won't be in the hilarity of human flesh and solical activity, but a genuine, deep spiritual power that will exude and manifest and move outward in the sphere of influence that each one of us carry. And that could happen all over the world. I mean, here we're talking about the power of God, right? And so I believe that as we look at all the stuff going on in the world, the wars, the rumors of wars, the famines, the death, the murder, the violence, all the stuff, that is a sign to the ecclesia. It's time for you to grow up. It's time to put away the unclean things. It is time to be fruitful to the hundredfold. Stop being content with the 30-fold. Nobody wants to go to an apple tree and eat an apple only in its 30-fold development. It's going to be sour and it's not going to taste good. Nobody wants to go to an apple tree and eat a apple that's only at its 60-fold production. It's still going to be hard and it's not going to be good. What the eater of the apple wants is the fruit that has come to a 100-fold ripeness. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and that phrase is basically during the kairos moment, in the economy of God, in the management of the economy of God, there will be an opportunity in the midst of a crisis. And the world today is in a crisis. And the opportunity in the midst of this global crisis is for an ecclesia to rise to power with a 100-fold fruitfulness of a people that have been transformed by the renewing of their minds and by the intrinsic work of the Holy Spirit, reproducing Christ in them to be manifested forth in a time of darkness. The light is not going to come from the sky, ladies and gentlemen. The light is not going to come from some building on a corner. No, the light is going to come from the ecclesia, from the bride, from the body of Yeshua, from you. And that is what I believe God is wanting to say to us in all the things going on. You have to recognize the moment of opportunity in the midst of a crisis. Our world is in a crisis. It's been in a crisis since the fall of Adam, in my understanding of Scripture. But there have been moments of crises that come to their zenith, and you're in one right now. And it's not about the physical things that you and I should be focusing on. It is about the spiritual cultivation, development, bringing forth effulgencing manifestation of the glory of God that is manifested in God's people. The present distress, Paul said, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Whose glory? Christ's glory, God's glory. Revealed in who? In us. And the present sufferings aren't even worthy to be compared to that moment, but all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons, the huios of God, the mature. And I believe, sincerely believe, that it is time to get delivered and set free the 2,000 years of the church age. Jesus said again, today and tomorrow I do cures and cast out demons, but on the third day I shall be perfected. And if you do not consider yourself a member of his divine body, then what are you involved in? And if you are a member of his divine body, it is time for your perfection. And the word perfection just means your fulfillment and completion, that the work that he began in you, it needs to come to fruition. And we cannot keep living in the cycle or the pattern of thought and idea that keeps reproducing the fruit of an old nature. We have to be rid of, step out of, move away from the old man. We are told in Scripture, put off the old man, put on the new man. Put on the new man, put off the old man. Which means you don't give it license to talk, to think, to speak, to conduct itself, or to activate in any way. You take your cross and you bury that old nature, that old man. If we don't do that, we're not going to see the fruitfulness. But I guarantee you there are people in this world today that are doing exactly that. And I want you to be one, and I want to be one. Yeah, there's tough things going on in the world. Hard times. But we're the answer. I get that. I know that. I don't know about you, but don't you want your life to be an explosive light? Don't you want to be what Daniel said, that those who are wise will shine like the stars of the firmament, giving wisdom and direction and guidance and light to those that are lost in the darkness? Don't you want your life to be a mechanism of light, a lighthouse, a light tower? Don't you want your life to be something that those who are hurting and losing, I read to you in Ezekiel, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God Almighty did not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He never does. He never does. But he wants the wicked to repent. That's his heart. And don't you want to live on this earth being a light? And if you and I are afraid to shine our light and we put it under a bushel, are we really fulfilling our destiny as light bearers, as the light of the world and the salt of the earth? I know there's a time for a holy hush where God says, shh. I get that. But that doesn't mean you stop shining your light. That doesn't mean that we stop being salty in our walk with the Lord, right? There's a time when the prudent will keep silent, But even in their silence, their actions will speak louder than their words. Good morning, Patricia. How are you this morning?
Wow. I think alerted. Praise be to God.
Gee, I hope I don't have an edge on me when I'm saying this, because in my spirit, it's the most beautiful thing.
It's a passion. There's a passionate edge, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what needs to be done in the times we're in, because the things that are happening, those spiritual warfare we're in, is incredible right now. And it's going to grow into this unbelievable contradiction that nobody has ever seen from the foundations of the earth. And the liberal left is coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're really seeing, and his principles. And you know, this cry for righteousness is the only thing that will help us to be able to fight against this evil that is coming against us. And I wanted to bring this up because there is a prayer for courage that we need in this time to have this righteousness you're talking about. And in the time, in the New Testament, there was a work being done by the apostles, and they were standing against unrighteousness, against the governmental rule of the Sanhedrins and the Sadducees of Israel at the time, which were preaching and ministering unrighteousness, not good things, but wrong things. And here's what they cried out for. They said, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit to our ancestor, King David, your servant, saying, why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord, against his Messiah. And now it's against his Messiah again. It's against our Lord Jesus Christ that these battles are really ensuing. And so it isn't changed. It doesn't change. Nothing changes until the work of God overcomes the evil work of this world. And that work is in us. And so we need to understand that. And I wanted to just bring up some left. No, I'll go ahead, please. I can't. You, go ahead.
No, I don't. I was waiting for you.
All right,
well,
please.
No, I have nothing to say. You have something very important. I want you to share that, please.
Okay, I'm trying to go as quick as I possibly can.
Why are you going quick?
Because you're saying, come on.
No. What I'm doing is saying, keep going.
Okay.
You're misunderstanding my signals.
Keep going. All right, all
right.
Now,
listen, I'm a third base coach, and I'm giving you signals to bunt, and you're thinking I'm telling you to take a strike, we can't do that.
I don't know which way I'm going. It's the only problem.
No, you're going in the right direction. So just what I'm saying is just keep sharing what God has put in your heart.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. It is the left.
I have to be careful if I'm going to get dinner tonight.
You'll get dinner no matter what. I'm wanting to fulfill what God desires for us here. It is the left that started the abortion on movements of Roe versus Wade. I want to bring forth what we're really battling here.
Sure.
The battle is the battle against the Lord Jesus Christ and all who are his. And it is pretty clear when you break it down. The left, the rebellious left, has taken over our educational system, dumbing down our kids, keeping them from the full potential so that they could rule over them in the long run and make them idiots. They're making our children idiots in schools. They're not even giving them the necessary support. They have already innovated that. And the left, the liberal left, promotes homosexuality, gay marriage, which is an abomination to God. So you see, these things are against the Lord Jesus Christ and that which is within every Christian. The left makes radical feminists, which severely damage the American family. And that is the desire of the left. They have no desire for true marriage and true family union. The left calls capitalism evil and promotes socialism that never has worked in any nation ever. And this is what it's all about. It's coming against the Lord Jesus Christ and all that call themselves Christians. It is the left that has promoted and pushed large government to control our country and big brother type of government. It is the left that compromises the Bill of Rights, which gives us rights. It is the left destroying our economy with all their free programs and pushing away our ideals that make our nation strong in the world. And the Bible tells us so about this in Micah 3. This is they, the left, are the essence of evil. They hate good and love evil. In their arrogant pride, they really believe they know best and are willing to destroy anyone who disagrees. And we're learning this from history. And in the book of Micah, you may say that the Old Testament is not for today because it is in the book of Micah, but the Old Testament prophesies 365 prophecies are fulfilled in the New Testament and points to Jesus. And Jesus came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And so what are we looking at today? We're looking at the same situation that was then and it is now, and it will be until there is an overcoming presence. And that must be in us. And it cannot be fulfilled until we learn love and understand what true righteousness is in Jesus Christ. And quite frankly, I am getting very disturbed by what I'm seeing, but I realized it would come. But in the manner in which it's coming is even more alerting. And so in Micah, it says, listen to me, you leaders of Israel, but let's put the U.S. in that, because things never change. You and I understand that things always repeat themselves. History always repeats itself. So you have to get what you need from history to fulfill what is right today or to come against that which is evil. So it says in Micah, listen to me, you leaders of Israel, and I'm putting the United States in that. You hate justice and twist all that is right. You are building Jerusalem, and in that manner, we can say the capital of the United States, because Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. The capital of the United States is Washington, D.C. You are building Washington, D.C., Jerusalem, on a foundation of murder and corruption, murdering our children, and now the left's wanting to murder anything and anyone that gets in their way. You could see it in their demeanor. You can see it in their eyes. You rulers govern for the bribes you can get. And that's what they're looking for, all the bribes they can get. And the bribes come from Soros and many other deep state individuals. Your priests, your ministers, in other words, the people that do the law, teach God's laws only for a price. You prophets won't prophesy unless you are paid. Yet all of your claim, you are depending on the Lord. No harm can come to us, you say, for the Lord is here among us. So because of you, Mount Zion will be plowed like an open field. You can say Washington will be plowed like an open field. Jerusalem will be reduced to rubble. A great forest will grow on the hilltop where the temple now stands. Things have not changed. They move in the same direction. And the Lord is saying, wake up, people. Become righteous. Become a holy people. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord in the day that this happens, where we stand righteously. Come on, have your hearts clean. Let's know who the true commander-in-chief of the army is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not anything that is being brought forth by some false imagination. It is the will of God that we rise up now. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And it is time for us to move.
Patricia, the Temple Institute has released a powerful new video to awaken world Jewry and reframe the traditional period of mourning into one of preparation for the rebuilding of the third holy temple. Listen to this. Although millions of Jews worldwide will fast on the 9th of Av, which is observed this year on August 11th, today is the 8th, and strictly adhere to the other halalic requirements of mourning and destruction of the two holy temples, which both the Temple of Solomon and the latter temple were destroyed on the 9th of Av. It's a very powerful date. It's going to be August 11th. Well, for too many, the concept of rebuilding the temple is like a faraway dream. And these are the people the Temple Institute wishes to awaken from their slumber. So the video is the seventh in the series, which began as the Children Are Ready, which has accumulated over 1 million views on the Temple Institute's YouTube page. And then this video also challenges the viewers' preconceptions of Tisha B'Av as a day of eternal mourning, which is the 9th of Av, which will be celebrated again August 11th. So it's evoking Isaiah's promise that the third temple is the secret of world peace and harmony and the hope of all mankind. And it shall be at the end of days that the mountain of the temple of Hashem will be firmly established as the head of the mountains, and it will be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. So what's really happening, as we understand the New Testament, is that there will be a temple built in the last days. And many people are saying that will be the temple of the Lord, and the Lord's going to come into that temple and be glorified. But we know, according to the truth of God's word, that that temple will bring in the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist.
Right.
And so there will be a plowing of Jerusalem. There will be a plowing of all these fields. But Patricia, I got to say something to you. I felt like you and I went into a complete and total reversal of roles. I was being so nice and talking about the the need for cleansing and washing and internal salvation. And you went out there and rip-roared into – so God's not going to give up on anything, is he?
Well, you know, I was stirred by what I was watching on the media yesterday and the day before yesterday with, you know, because of the shootings. And it just, I just saw the twisting of truth to such a degree. It is just mind-boggling that they can be so deceived. But, you know, the left liberals are doing the same thing that was done in Germany. Hitler used propaganda and lies to get what he wanted, that army that was so destructive to kill off all the Jews and also others in different parts of the world that they felt were not of their liking, for their desire was to take over the world. Well, what is the desire now? It's for the new world order to take over the world, the elitist. And it's the same situation, only on a larger, you know, capacity. So I saw that and I thought, you know, enough's enough. It's about time we, the church, rises up to be the army of God that we have called to be, that our prayers open doors that no man can shut, and that our prayers change circumstances and situations until the Antichrist gets so enraged he has to come and sit in the holy place, and then the Lord comes and returns. Let's get this job done and save as many as we can on Mount Zion.
Well, amen. It's so interesting to me that you just brought up we're doing the same thing that was done in Nazi Germany. Because if you'll look on my screen, you'll see that I have a title here, American Christians Now Repeating Mistakes of Nazi Germany. It's an article from Z3 News by James Bailey. And the article says, just as Adolf Hitler assured the German people in the 1920s and 1930s that God was with them in restoring their nation to greatness, millions of Christians in the United States have joined President Trump, believing his promise to make America great again. Just as Adolf Hitler claimed to be a Christian, President Trump has surrounded himself with Christian leaders, often allowing them to join him with him in prayer. He has also surrounded himself with Christian Vice President Mike Pence and Christian Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. After their devastating loss in World War I, the German people were humiliated and wanted to make their nation great again. Adolf Hitler promised to do that with God's help. He was outspoken about his Christian faith. The following is just a small sample of his many public declarations of faith in God from his campaign to help make Germany great again. And here's a quote. Adolf Hitler said, "My feeling as a Christian points me to my Lord and Savior as a fighter, And if there is anything which could demonstrate that we are acting rightly, it is the distress that daily grows. For as a Christian, I have also a duty to my own people. The national government will regard it as its first and foremost duty to revive in the nation the spirit of unity and cooperation. It will preserve and defend these basic principles on which our nation has been built. It regards Christianity as the foundation of our national morality, and the family as the basis of national life. May God Almighty give our work His blessing, strengthen our purpose, and endow us with wisdom and the trust of our people, for we are fighting not for ourselves, but for Germany. That was by Adolf Hitler. Well, in Nazi Germany, many Christian, quote-unquote, leaders praised Hitler as a blessing from God, as shown in the following quote. And here's a quote. In the pitch black night of church history, Hitler became, as it were, the wonderful transparency for our time, the window of our age, through which light fell on the history of Christianity. Through him, we were able to see the Savior in the history of the Germans. That was by Pastor Julius Lutheiser. In the same way, many false prophetic voices are now assuring the American people the hand of God is with President Trump to restore our nation to greatness. And how do they know this? Has there been a great move of repentance in our land? No. It's because an anonymous person operating under the alias name QAnon told them so. However, building our hope on such claims requires ignoring all the facts of history, including all the facts of President Trump's history, and the warning given to us by Jesus that every tree is known by its fruit. Meanwhile, our federal government, led by President Trump, is proceeding full speed ahead with their plans to divide the American people with an unending series of false flag events designed to ignite our wrath against one another. Their plan, as revealed by God in many prophetic warning dreams shared here on Z3 News, is to ignite civil war in America so we kill each other. The recent shootings of innocent people, which are being blamed on white supremacist terrorists, is just the latest example. An intelligence bulletin released by the FBI on May 30th, 2019, specifically identified the growing threat of terrorist attacks from conspiracy theory-driven domestic extremists, the FBI document states. So the FBI assesses these conspiracy theories very likely will emerge, spread, and evolve in the modern information marketplace, occasionally driving both groups and individual extremists to carry out criminal or violent acts. So here you have the leader of the Z3 News, James Bailey. He's been putting out dreams and visions from many, many different voices. And he is basically saying that we are following the same example of Nazi Germany, where the people are behind Adolf Hitler, who's claiming to be a Christian, and yet we know the events. So again, I bring that up because this is another point of view. And he's saying that the millions of Christians are behind Donald Trump because he's making America great again. And yet we maintain the reality that more abortion still going on. Homosexuals, in fact, I've got an article here in just a moment I'll share about the LGBT movement goes beyond acceptance to seeking totalitarian power. So here's an article that's going to come in just a moment about the LGBTQ movement. They don't want just to be accepted. They want totalitarian power within our nation. It's not being stopped or resisted or turned back.
That's a whole different thing, but I just want to bring up, I believe there is deception in what you just read, because the only thing that Trump has done was to build a wall so that immigrants would not come in illegally, bringing in other things with them that would be very destructive to the United States of America. He didn't try to divide or take over anything except to stop that from happening. He didn't try to divide this nation. That wasn't true. That statement is not true. And they are...
Well, Adolf Hitler wasn't trying to divide his nation either. He was trying to make it great again. He was trying to unite it.
But it said that he came against, you know, the people trying to divide that nation, that Hitler wanted to unite, but so did Trump. Trump did not try to divide. It said that Trump was dividing the nation. That's what you read. Trump has not tried to divide the nation. The nation became divided by the attitude and spirit of unrighteousness in some individuals that want a one world order.
Yeah, well, he didn't
and
say
the
that.
Wall, the
and
only
you have to
reason,
admit that Donald Trump is a globalist and he's all about the money.
No, I do not.
Well, he's in the sense of the elite power, the money power. Everything in his administration is simply about the economy. We still have abortion. We're still having homosexual marriages. We're still a nation that is spewing out our filth.
He
we
is
haven't
trying
had,
everything
I understand
possible
that.
To change that.
I understand that. But in his article here, what James Bailey is saying is that the church in America has lost its discernment, choosing to believe whatever we want to believe, all blue sky ahead. And the historical pattern as shown by Nazi Germany reveals this is exactly what it looks like before judgment falls. And their only solution to the problem, which I agree with in this part of the article, is that the only thing that will heal our nation is repentance.
Yes, I agree. I mean, repentance is true. I think that there is a spirit that's within Trump, and I've heard it, I've listened, I've watched, I looked into it, that Trump desires only to change things that have been wrong, like abortion. He has worked diligently to do that, and he's getting harassed and stopped in all of this left liberal ways to continue it on. The whole idea is a fight against New World Order that is already in work, that is already working around the world, and keep our nation from the involvement of being part of the new world order. He is not bringing division into our country. The liberal left is bringing division into our country. The only thing that they're yelling about is that he won't allow people into the nation. These poor, poor people that are being harassed from all over the world will not be allowed into our nation. Well, there's good reason. Dope is coming in from it. Drugs beyond estimation from people coming in from other places of the world. He is trying to stop illegals from coming in because they are harassing the nation. They are pulling from the nation, but the liberals want them in so that they can control them and come into authority by paying off, giving them things like free medical, free education, free everything, so that they can control them and get votes from them. And so the struggle is not Trump. The struggle is the liberal, the left liberals, and they are part of the one world order.
If Donald Trump, and you and I are having a wonderful spat here, and I'm glad we're doing this because these are the conversations that help us to understand. Somebody sold a book, marketed Donald Trump as the new Cyrus of our day. Cyrus had nothing to do with assisting the Jews and helping them build their temple. He simply gave them the liberty to go do the work they were called to do. Cyrus maintained as a king that was a man that didn't know God. And so Donald Trump is doing what King Cyrus would do. He's making himself rich. He's making himself.
He was already rich.
But he's enriching. Right. Well, he was pretty rich, but, you know, he wasn't the $50 billion guy. So I'm not saying anything against Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. But if we're not careful, people are going to put their eyes on the man. But if they really wanted a wall, if Donald Trump really wanted a wall built, rather than waiting for all those years, you know, you said he's a billionaire. He could have put his own money into it and done the wall.
No,
he could have hired outside private contractors to build the wall.
It's political war. It's not
financial
war with this wall. He is getting hit by political.
No, you can build a wall if there was money. Congress just didn't want to give the money. So the people were wanting to raise the funds, as I understand it. But anyways, this conversation
that
is not
is another cover. It is a political war against allowing people in or keeping them out.
But let me make a point here. James Bailey from Z3 News, he's a godly man, as I understand him to be, is a godly man who's been faithful with visions, dreams, ministering the word.
I haven't looked at it, so
yeah,
I can't
so you
say
need
that.
You need to do that. So he's a godly man. A friend of ours introduced us to this man and his ministry. And this godly man is warning people right now that they're following the way that the Germans did, who were nationalists. They were nationalists. Adolf Hitler was a nationalist. Now, what the left is doing, because this is what's so despicable about the left, and I get your point, the left is promoting homosexuality, abortion, lesbianism, corruption of every kind. I get that.
It's against Christ.
But they're saying that's what America is. It gives everybody an opportunity to live the way that they want to live. This is a democracy, and we don't put people under burkas, and we don't tell people what they can say, and we don't tell people anything. We have laws that protect our society, but as the, you know, the legislators are changing laws and everything. So they're just going with that ideology. But when it comes to nationalism, white supremacy, watching out to make America from the founding fathers era. There were no blacks, basically. There were some, don't get me wrong. But there was a white supremacist.
If you really read the history of the blacks, you would be shocked and amazed how many famous known blacks from the very foundation of this nation has come into a position. And in fact, it's covered. You're not hearing about it because of the liberals, because of the left. And it has happened. The Democrats have done this very thing for the last 100 years.
All right. We got two calls coming in. Yes. And I want my spaghetti dinner tonight, so I'm not going to argue anymore. But we've got a friend calling all the way from 479-903. I believe this is Elder George calling in from Wisconsin. Good morning, George. Am I in trouble or is Patricia?
You're in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
I'd say amen, amen, hallelujah. The words that come from. But I'd like to mention that yesterday you were talking about fear and how fear and what happened in the news yesterday. You see in New York City, there was a motorcycle or something that bang, and everybody panicked in fear. All the people, and then someplace else there was a sign or something that dropped down that made a bang, and everybody ran. They all were in fear. It is so, you know, all these things are happening that the people are in a way of fear. And they don't have Jesus Christ as their rock. And if they get wake, no, but how the people have, like Patricia says, the left has dumbed everybody down, and young and old and all of, and the one world government that they're working on and succeeding in the, but it's all in that precious word of this. These 66 books. And I just say, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Amen, George. Well, that's well said. And yeah, somebody sent the video, but I was not able to open it up. And that's the panic, but right beneath the skin of every person. We've got another call coming in. Area code 479-586, you're on the air. Good morning.
Neither one of you are in trouble, but I think Pastor Pat is nailing the head, and Elder George just topped it off.
Now we're going to take our next call. Good morning. Ammunition.
Can you hear me?
We're going to take our next call. Thank you. all right, go ahead. Do that again, Bill. Say that again. That I'm in trouble.
I said, neither one of you are in trouble, but I think Pastor Pat and Elder George nailed it on the head. And as George said, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. You were sent a video trailer this morning called The Hunt. Now, you and I both know that if we would ever use the language that the left is using toward Donald Trump, toward our previous administration, we would have people knocking on our doors with government ID badges threatening us or telling us to shut up or take us to jail, but yet they get away with it. And we all know that Hollywood projects what's going to happen in the future because they're part of the left, okay? And the video I sent you was supposed to be played on ESPN, but because of the shootings, they decided not to play it. And it's called The Hunt, and it's a series that's going to start in September. And then, in essence, when you watch the video, Pastor Pat nailed it on the head. The left, the elitists are paying people on the left to hunt Christians and people or conservatives on the right to literally capture them and then hunt them down and kill them. And you know, that might be a long stretch, kind of like the Hunger Games and stuff like that. But the fact that they would even put that type of movie out there, if it were reversed and the people on the right were to hunt the people on the left, Can you imagine the uproar and the screaming and the crying and the false narratives that would be played out? But yet this is allowed to happen the opposite way. It's going full tilt. It's going full tilt. This is not going to end, and it's not going to get better. It is continuing to go full tilt, and it's going to continue to get worse. And it's like you and Pastor Pat have both been saying recently, you better have discernment, and you better stay prayed up, because if you're not, you're going to get swallowed up. And I'll listen. Be blessed.
All right. Well, thank you for that input. We've got, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a little extra time here. We're going to take our next call coming in from South Dakota, and we'll just go over here. So we're going to say, South Dakota, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Excuse
Kathy.
Me. Yes. Okay. There's a great brainwashing going forth throughout our nation. And, you know, the Word of God does say that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. And so we need to, well, what a God is doing, he's burning everything, all the hay, the wood, and the stubble out of us all, because this bride is going to be without spot and wrinkle. And this burning that's going on, God's taken everything that is not purely from him out. And I'm not taking nobody's side except that let God have his way, and God is sovereign. That's all I got to say.
Well, come on, we women have to stick together.
Well, no, it's not a women thing. And one thing I wanted to say about our conversation, I know my heart pretty well. And I would say I love Donald Trump. I love him, the man. I pray for him, his family. I think he has the potential to be one of the most powerful leaders that this world has ever known. And when all this pressure is coming against him, what did we do? We stand up, we pray for him. I know where my heart lies here, but I also know the narrative of the left is accusing him of being a racist, a bigot. But what Donald Trump can't do is blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you use the Lord's name in vain, what you do is you add fuel to the fire. And so my prayer to the man is that a true prophet of God will get around his life, like Isaiah was to Hezekiah, and will speak directly to him about doing things, and that, you know, that'll be worked out, and that he will not bend under the pressure of what the left is saying, or start responding or getting soft in areas where we don't want him to be soft in. So time will tell everything. The bottom line, Donald and all the rest of us, Mr. President, we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We know the left is obviously evil. We need to be careful of the subtleties of the wolf in sheep's clothing spirit that is out there. And so I'm just saying the most important thing for the church today, Patricia, is getting cleaned up before the Lord. And we'll continue to dialogue about these things, because you and I are going to be with Donald Trump one day walking through Washington, D.C. with him.
Yes. In fact, I think that's been prophesied by a dear, dear friend. And I'm hoping it gets fulfilled.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it will. So with that being said, we're going to say goodbye to everybody. There's a roundtable discussion going on right now over at www.omegaradio.org. It'll certainly equip you. They have a great conversation. Lots of great voices on that one. That's beginning right now. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some of the best Christian teaching that this world has to offer. Till we meet again, shalom and God bless.